lot of things down here you could give your attention to, but there's nothing down here you give your attention to that'll compare to what's up in heaven. And I'd encourage you to keep your thoughts there. All right. Well, if you have your Bible, if you turn to Daniel chapter 6 tonight, Daniel chapter 6 tonight. And since we did not read the passage this morning, I want to go ahead and pick up and read some verses tonight. Beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says, "Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased within himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, By God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, forasmuch as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them down into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them and brake all their bones in pieces or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lion? So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. God will bless the reading of his word. Lord, help us tonight as we look again at this passage so familiar to us. And help us, Lord, tonight to be able to open our hearts and our minds to what you would write upon them. Lord, I pray that there'd be nothing said that would hinder your message. And Lord, that tonight's message would be taken personally by every person listening, and that you would be able to bring forth from it your desire in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I guess I'm just going to title it Lessons from the Lion's Den. And we've already learned some great lessons. We learned when we first came to chapter 6 on how to finish well. A man 90 years of age, finishing well. Can I ask you a question? How many of you like to finish well? Would you like to finish well? And then not only did we notice the how to finish well, but we noticed that a man that had a law written that he could not ask a petition of God did as he did aforetime. And he prayed, and we learned how to pray well. And I believe that the ministry that we're trying to continue here at Tabernacle and develop in prayer ministry is an important thing. But tonight, looking at the last lesson that I want to bring out, particularly in how to believe well, I think that there are all kind of things that are true in this world that you can put your trust in, but there's nothing greater than you can put your trust in than the Lord Jesus Christ. And Daniel believed well. Now, before we get to that, I want to mention just a moment about this den of lions and the Roman Empire. This is not the Roman Empire. This is Babylon. Actually, this is the Medo-Persian Empire now. But the Roman Empire, they did take and feed people to the lions. They called it condemnation by beast. There's a term that goes along with it in a different tongue, but that's what it means. Condemnation by beast. Now, you know, we do the same. You can be condemned to the gallows, and so you hang by your neck from a rope for crimes committed. Or you can be condemned to a firing squad, and there is a group of people that stand before you, and your life is taken. All right, well, these people in Rome, they would condemn people to the beasts. And what they would do is military would go out and conquer people, and they might feed people to the lions, people from other countries that they had conquered and people that they wanted to make an example out of. They also did that to criminals. They would take criminals that had committed crimes sometimes against the state of Rome, and they would feed them to the lions. How many of you think if our country fed people to the lions because they'd committed a crime, that might change the way people commit crime? I think it would. But the worst thing that they would do is they would feed Christians to the lions. They would take people that believed in Christ, that had an allegiance to Christ that was higher than Rome. You do understand the reason China is so against the Bible is because they don't want their people to have an allegiance that supersedes the state. They want you to put the state at the highest place. And I would say the same thing true of America. I am an American citizen. I love my country. But I'm going to say again tonight, I'm going to place my allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ far above anything in this country. And the fear was in Rome, if you give your allegiance to Christ, then you are taking weakening Rome. And so they began to blame the Christians for the problems there. And Ignatius, if you don't know that name, I want to say that name to you tonight. Ignatius. Ignatius and Polycarp, two men that were martyrs of the church, both said to have been taught by the Apostle John. Polycarp burned at the stake. And you know how they ended Ignatius' life? They fed him to the lions. And I'm saying tonight that that is being repeated here in this passage. That there are lions that have been primed to take and devour one of God's men. I believe that Daniel was a man of God. He is noted that way in the Bible. And the first thing that I want to say tonight, if you're going to take a note, I want you to write this down. And I want you to note, listen, there is an adversary in this world that will devour both you and your family if you allow him to do so. I want you to look in verse 24. Daniel is delivered, but in verse 24, look at verse 24. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces wherever they came at the bottom of the den. That's 120 men. That's two presidents. That's all of their wives and all of their children. And we read about in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 that there is an adversary that we have, the devil, who is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Church, are you listening to me? Can you give me your attention? Can you hear me for just a moment? You young men, you young ladies, young couples, people that have served God for all of your days, I want you to hear this. Listen, your enemy is not people in the church or your pastor or your government. Your enemy, your great enemy is the devil, and he is an adversary that will destroy you if you give him that opportunity. Boy, as a young person, sometimes I thought my enemy was my mother and dad. If you're born again, the devil is your enemy. The devil is your enemy. There are times that people convince themselves that the enemy they have is somebody they go to church with. I'm telling you right now, you've never had an enemy like the devil. He hates you. He hates your family. He is a thief and a robber and a liar and a murderer. And he will do his best to destroy you and your family. I know sometimes we think, no, I'll be the exception. It reminds me in 1 Kings 13, there was a young prophet that went and cried against the altar of God, and God God took and withered up that king's hand as he commanded to take that young prophet and then began saying, oh, please pray for me. And God had told that young prophet, now here's what you do. You go and you give them my word, but don't you stop. Don't you eat anything there. Don't you drink anything there. And an older prophet lied to him and said, an angel told me, God told me to tell you, you need to stay and eat with me. And that young prophet listened. And in chapter 13, when he got up to leave that old prophet's house, the Bible says that a lion met him, by the way. And here's this young man that just came off a great victory and achieved something for the living God in rebuking an idol of idolatry. And the Bible says that the lion slew him and just stood there beside him. I had a friend of mine one time, he said it this way. He said, if that young prophet had have just gone home when God told him to, that when that lion was coming down the way he came, he said they never would have intersected. But because he waited, there was an intersection between that lion and that young prophet, and he destroyed his life. Now listen to me. You have an adversary that will destroy your life. Do you see what he says there in the Bible? Now, men tonight, are you listening, men? These 120 men, they brought the destruction of their entire family along with the destruction of themselves because they had envy at Daniel being preferred, and the sin of their life didn't just touch them, but it destroyed their wives and their children. What a horrible thing that must have been. Go round up those 120 princes. They lost the purpose that they'd been given. I can tell you, there's so many people that have lost the purpose that God gave them, whether it was singing and using their voice for God's glory, or teaching perhaps in a Sunday school, or preaching behind the pulpit because Satan got his hand in there, and old Smutty Fingers, old Slewfoot took them captive and ruined the purpose of their life. But it didn't just ruin their purpose. Can you imagine that day somebody said, hey, y'all go and y'all go get the wives. And as the heralds went out and said, your husbands have been detained by the king. And now you are to come and bring your children with you. Why are we going? No, I don't have any information to give you. You're to leave right now. And they bring them all to the den of lions. And can you imagine? Here's that man, and he's looking at his wife and his children. And they are thrown into that lion's den, and they break their bones. Hey, listen. Men, the devil will have no mercy on your family if you lead them the wrong direction. He won't have mercy on your children. Now, I know the Bible teaches that the children are not to be punished for the sins of their fathers. But when you look in the Bible, there's some great examples of that. Think about Haman. Haman had 10 sons hanging from the gallows in Esther chapter 9. He had the sin in his heart and the hatred in his heart, and it affected all 10 of his sons. Think about Saul. Saul, they took 7 of his sons, grandsons in 2 Samuel 21, and hung them up in the gallows because of the sin of his heart. Think about Achan. Achan took that thing and didn't even enjoy it. And God had told him, don't do that. That is not yours, Achan. You let all of those things be given as a tribute for what I've done. And yet Achan saw a Babylonian garment that wouldn't have been something he could have worn. And he saw silver and he saw a wedge of gold. And he hid them under his tent. And not only did it take the lives of his wife and his children, he has to stand there in front of all these people in Israel and be stoned alongside of his children. In my mind, I can hear him saying, oh, I regret. I should have never touched that silver. I should have never touched that gold. Hey, Dad, listen to me. You need to keep your hands off another person's wife because it'll destroy your family. You need to keep your hands off the vices of this world like alcohol and drugs. It will destroy not only you, but it can touch your family. Pornography is rampant in our society. Dad, you ought to stay away from that. Amen. Not a one of us would want one of our daughters to be paraded like that in front of anybody. It's a scourge in America. It's a scourge in the world. And we ought to run from it.
We should never take and allow the things of this world, the dollar and prominence and having a nicer car or a nicer truck, to take preeminence over giving God what he deserves. I think you ought to take your family to church. Don't send them. Amen. These men occasioned the death of their whole family. And I'm telling you, after pastoring 30 years plus now, I've seen the devil destroy marriages. I've seen him destroy children. I've seen him get in the middle of things that should have been good and should have been right. These are princes. They have a purpose. They have position, status. Certainly they have something in their future. But because of envy, they gave everything up. Well, I'm telling you tonight, men, you know what we ought to be determined to do? I'm going to leave my family and follow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's an adversary that will devour your family. And I wish the devil would leave you alone after you've been saved a long time. I look at some of our gray-headed people. I wish the devil would leave them alone. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think the devil's going to leave any of us alone until we finally get to glory. Not going to do it. Well, preacher, we got three children that are pointed the right direction. Yeah, and if the devil can, that fourth one, he's going to make sure that that one never makes it the right direction. Because he's just ruthless. And when I read that all of these men and all of their wives and their children, they're all destroyed. Oh, it sends shivers into my soul to think about what the devil's trying to work in today's Bible-believing church. And listen, men, determined to lead your family in the direction that God wants it to go. Get rid of the vices. Get rid of the habits. There may be some things that aren't even sinful that might be a bad influence on your children. I would say, listen, there is nothing in this world worth trading your family for. Nothing. That's a great lesson to learn in this passage. That's a hard, hard thing to read in the Bible. And then I want you to go back and look with me, if you would, in verse number 14. Here's the second lesson. Daniel believed well. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sorely displeased within himself, and he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Do you see that? The king set his heart to deliver Daniel. All right, that's the thing that became the preeminent thing in his life. And the Bible says he labored, that's a king, laboring till the going down of the sun. So he's working all day long. How can I deliver Daniel? I'm sure he's having people bring books, previous cases. He's having people bring everything. He's trying to bring men in to say, how can I deliver Daniel? Because I don't want Daniel to die. And it says that he labored until the going down of the sun. And then the Bible goes on to say that himself, that he took and he fasted, the Bible says in verse number 18. He went to his palace and passed the night fasting. He's got a burden for Daniel. And the Bible goes on to say sleep went from him. Verse 19, he arose very early in the morning. He's got a great burden. He wants to deliver Daniel. But you know what this king doesn't have the power to do? The most powerful man on the planet and the man that signed into law the petition, or the law against asking a petition, is the man that cannot deliver Daniel. You know, I'd like to say tonight, there's a lot of us that would like to deliver loved ones, but we don't have the power to do it, do we? There are people that they could pay money, they would pay money to deliver people that they love, but there's not enough money for you to be able to do that. So here's the second lesson. Are you listening? I'm also sure that there is a God that knows how to deliver the righteous. I'm going to say that again. There's a God that knows how to deliver the righteous. If you look there in verse 16, the king makes a statement. At the end of the verse, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. So the king makes a statement to Daniel. He says, Daniel, I've made a terrible error. I can't believe I signed that law. But thy God, whom you serve continually, he'll deliver you. Here's a 90-year-old man, and he knows he's condemning him to the lion's den. But he says, thy God will deliver you. But he's not certain about that. Look at verse 20. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel,
O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Is he able? Is your God able to deliver? And in my mind, I think there are a lot of people that say, well, he delivered me from hell, but I don't think he can deliver me from the problems that we're facing today. My God has the ability to deliver me from my sin and the guilt of my sin, but I don't know if he has the ability to deliver me from the harm and from the problems that we have circulating around us. Hey, can I say something to Tabernacle Baptist Church tonight? I know things right now in our country are just uncertain, but I'm telling you right now, you listen to me, there is a God that is able to deliver the righteous. He is able to deliver thee. We sang it this morning. He is able to deliver thee. And this king, he's not certain about it. When he gets to that lion's den, he's not certain if God has the power to deliver. He knows he doesn't have the power to deliver. This is beyond me. If God doesn't step in, this is beyond me. There's no way a man can survive an evening in the lion's den. Is thy God able to deliver thee? Look what he found out, verse number 27. The Bible says, verse 26, rather, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. Boy, can I get an amen right there? Amen. He's not a God that can't hear. He's not a God that can't see. Just the opposite. Our God has eyes to see and ears to hear. He has power to work. Amen. And then he goes on to say this, verse 27, he delivereth. He's saying of God, he delivereth and rescueth. And he worketh signs. It sounds like to me that Darius believed that God was busy. He's delivering, he's rescuing, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Now listen to me. The king said, the living God has power to deliver from the power of the lions, which means that God had more power than the lions. I got to thinking about that, and I began to write things down, and oh my, I'm telling you tonight, I'm glad that I have a God that's able to deliver. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, he is called the Deliverer, capital D. It's an identifying name of our God. I'm glad that he's the God of all comfort. That when my heart is bent and burdened, that God can come in and comfort that heart. I'm glad that he's the God of all peace. That when my soul is troubled, that God can slip in and he can speak peaceful words at night. I'm glad he's the God of all grace. That when there are times in my life that I know that things are just not what they ought to be, that I've got a God that can meet with grace. But hey, are you listening to me? I'm also glad tonight that my God is the Deliverer. He's the Deliverer. I believe that Daniel believed that. And I'm just going to read a few verses to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says that he delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver us and will yet deliver. You know what that means? God delivered us in the past. He delivers us in the present, and he's going to deliver us in the future. I say he's got all the bases covered. Amen. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4 that he gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this evil world. I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to be swallowed up by this evil world. I've been delivered by the grace of God. Now, I may pay a price down here. It may be difficult down here. But just like that lion's den and just like that fiery furnace, you can't keep me there indefinitely, because one day God's going to deliver me whether you do it or not. Amen. Amen. Listen to another verse. Listen to this verse. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 29. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation. Boy, I'm glad I've got a God who knows how to deliver out of temptation. There are people that spend years, I don't know how to beat this addiction. I don't know how to beat this vice. And I don't know what I'm going to do, Pastor. I can't stop what I'm doing. You know what I think? I think you just need somebody that knows how to deliver. He knows how to deliver. There's not a sin that our God doesn't have enough power to deliver you from. You don't understand, preacher, I've been a drug addict for 20 years of my life. I've lived it and breathed it. I just don't think there's any way you can get off of it. I'm going to tell you right now, there's a God in heaven that knows how to deliver. You don't understand, preacher, I've been drinking since I was
12 years old and it's been so much a part of my life and it's been a part of my dad's life and my family's life. I just don't think that I can lay it down. You may not be able to lay it down, but there's somebody in heaven that has power to help you to be able to lay it down. Amen. Unless somebody listening by way of the internet tonight or watching by way of live stream thinks that I'm just trying to stir people up, I'm not stirring anybody up. I believe what I'm preaching right now. I believe there's a God in heaven that can deliver you from anything that has power over you because he has more power. Amen. Amen. I got to writing things down. Boy, God delivered that maniac of Gadara from the power of Satan in Mark chapter 5, didn't he? Here's somebody that's got a legion of devils in them. Not just one, a legion. Is that 1,000? That sounds like a lot to me. I don't want 2. He's got a legion. You know what God does? Jesus says, okay, time to get out. In Southern vernacular, get. Move on. And that man is seated and clothed and in his right mind. I got to thinking about how that woman was delivered from the power of sin in John chapter 8. She was caught in the very act. She's in adultery, embarrassed, disheveled. And boy, after he finishes writing on the ground and stands up that second time, he says, woman, where are thine accusers? And she said, no man, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I got to think about how God delivered Joseph out of the pit and out of Potiphar's house and from Potiphar's wife and out of prison, and how God delivered Paul out of the mouth of the lion, how he delivered Peter out of prison. You remember Peter? Peter's in between those two guards and they've taken off James' head. James is dead. I mean, he's not wounded, he's dead. They've decapitated him. He's dead. He's killed with the sword. And Peter, they said, he's going to come take you. And Peter, the Bible says he's between those two soldiers. And the Bible says that Peter is sleeping. I don't know about you. I don't know that I would be sleeping thinking I'm dying tomorrow. You say, what was happening? God was helping Peter. Peter, you're going to be all right. I believe he went back and thought about when he was told there in John 21, when thou art old. And he thought, hey, I don't think this is old yet. I must have some time yet to go. And there he's sleeping. He's sleeping and he was woken up. The angels got to slap him, got to get him up. And it's kind of like a teenager. And then he sits back and first he thinks it's a dream. And the next thing he understands is he realizes God has delivered me. God delivered Peter from prison. Listen, he delivered Israel from Egypt. He delivered 2 million people from a country that had taken and made slaves out of them and servants and beaten them and abused them and used them to their own pleasure. And you know what God did? God sent 10 plagues. And then when they had that Passover lamb, Israel went out of Egypt with a high hand, and not even a dog lifted its voice against them. You say, what was that? That's the power of God to deliver. Amen and amen. People get worried about what's going to happen in America. Let me tell you what's going to happen in the church. One day there's going to be a trumpet that's going to sound. One day there's going to be a voice of an archangel. There's going to be a shout from heaven. And listen, all the rules and all the laws and all the problems they have with our Bible and preachers like me, you won't have to worry about again. We will be permanently delivered from this wicked world. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Daniel believed he was going to be delivered. I believe he did. Now, I'll show you why I believe that in just a moment, because the Bible says it. But look what else the Bible says there in verse number 22. My goodness, y'all have preached me to death today. In verse 21, when Daniel says unto the king, O king, live forever. Verse 22, my God had sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. I don't know how many lions were in there. 2 would be too many. But he's in there with lions. And we know why he was put there. He was put there because when the decree was made, he went to his house as aforetime, and this 90-year-old man gets on his knees and he begins praying toward Jerusalem and the God of heaven. So we know he was put into the lion's den because of his praying. Now, you know what's really unique to me? We're not told about anything that happened in the lion's den. We're not told what Daniel did. How many of you were in the line? If you were in the lines again, how many of you think you'd be praying? Boy, I didn't. You know what? Some of y'all aren't tuned in tonight, are you? Because I'm telling you right now, we threw you into the dog den, you'd be praying. Yeah. He got thrown in the line. It doesn't record a prayer. I mean, we know, we see that Saul, he's praying at midnight and singing praises, but we're not told anything here except that he goes in and that lid is put on the top of that stone is put on the top of that den and it's sealed. And we know Daniel's on the inside and we know the lions are on the inside, but we're not told anything else about what's going on except that little phrase right there in verse 22. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. You know what I'm going to tell you tonight? One thing that we know that Daniel knew he wasn't by himself. Daniel, this 90-year-old man's thrown into that lion's den, and here those lions are all around. I'm sure they smell bad. I'm sure it smelled bad in the bottom of that thing. I'm sure it was dark. I mean, all that flannel graph material and all those Becca flashcards, I'm telling you right, they don't make near the representation that they ought to make about this story. 90-year-old man in a terrible place, smells bad. He's down in there, and maybe when he landed, maybe he's praying, now, God, you said, Lord, you could deliver me. I know you can. And I think somewhere there in his prayer time or whatever went on, I think he just decided, you know, I'm not in here by myself. There's somebody in here with me. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, he says, my God has sent his angel and he shut the lion's mouth. Now, you know what I know about those three Hebrew boys? Those three Hebrew boys, they're thrown into that fiery furnace in chapter 3, and they have no idea that the fourth man is there. They don't know he's there, but everybody else could see it. That's because God is using that moment to get glory to himself. And when the king looks in and said, how many did we cast in? Three, O king. He said, well, I see four, and the form of the fourth is likened to the Son of God. Indulge me just a minute. So we can't see that. So God takes that moment, and he makes a king and all those other princes and captains see a fourth man in the fire. But you know, sometimes it's not about God getting glory. Daniel's on the inside of that thing, and he said, God sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lions. It doesn't tell us. When he landed, maybe they were snarling. Maybe they were showing their teeth. You ever had a dog show its teeth to you? I mean, even a little Chihuahua dog that ain't big as a minute, when it... It says he sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion. Maybe Daniel's down there and maybe they're making a little racket. I've heard people say all kinds of things. I don't know. I'm just saying this. But I'm telling you that somebody stepped into that den. And whether it was a theophany, whether it was Jesus Christ, whether it was likened to the Son of God, I'm not trying to say that I know, but I just know this. Daniel knew there's somebody else stepped in there and he just said, shh. How many of you think Daniel at that point in time probably was rejoicing in his soul? I got somebody in here with me. I got somebody here with me that's got more power than the lions have power. I got somebody here with me that has authority and power to make the lion's mouth shut, just like he had power and authority over the wind and over the waves and over death. And are you listening tonight? I'm saying tonight that we have a God that delivers, and he is with you even when nobody else can see. I got to thinking about it in the Bible. He said he would never leave thee nor forsake thee, and I'm with thee always. He told Abraham, I'll be with you. He told Moses when he was going to lead the children of Israel, I'll be with you. He told Joshua, as I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. He told Gideon, scared to death, hiding, taking, and threshing wheat. He said, Gideon, I'm going to be with you. He told Solomon, I'll be with you. Hey, believer, I'm telling you right now, I don't know what the future holds, but if God is with you, are you listening? If God is with you, you don't have to be afraid of the dark. Amen. Amen. Would you look there, keep a mark in Daniel just a minute and go, if you would, to Isaiah 43. It's just a great verse. Help us just to remember maybe and write it in the flyleaf of your Bible there. Isaiah 43, and look at verse number 2. The Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. Hey, Mom, I don't have any idea what you're going to face this year, but if you've got God sitting right down in the middle of that house with you, then I'm going to tell you, you've got somebody that's able to deliver you whatever it may be. I don't know what our church is going to face this year. I'm just telling you, I'm determined in one thing. I've got a God who is able to deliver. And whatever we can do to make God happy about being right here, that's what we want to do. Now go back, if you would, to Daniel chapter 6, and I'll finish out. Daniel chapter 6, verse 23. Then was the king exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Now watch. Because he believed in his God. That's what the Bible's testimony is. That's what the king's testimony is. That Daniel was delivered by faith because he believed God. You know what it says in Hebrews chapter 11? It says, who through faith, and it gives a list, subdued and stopped the mouth of lions. You know what I believe? I believe that Daniel believed he had a God that had power to deliver. His faith in God was larger than his fear of the lions. Come on, are you listening to me? His faith in God was greater than his fear of the lions. You know what we need today as a people? We need to put our faith in the living God. We need to put our faith in the living God. Now, you know, it doesn't really say a whole lot about Daniel after verse 24 as far as what he says or what he does, except that he prospers. How many of you think he was rejoicing after God left him, got him up out of that pit? You think he's rejoicing? How many of you think at 90 years of age he started telling that story? You think he was telling that to anybody? Yeah, absolutely. He learned that there was a God that was able to deliver, and God gives us that. So, what is it you need to be delivered from tonight? Is it fear? Is it something to do with your finances? How about your family? What is it that's out there that Satan is trying to work his will and trying to take and just constrict things? Is it a habit? Is it a vice? You know what I'm telling you tonight? He is able to deliver thee. He's able to deliver thee. Now, I've got a little bit of a different invitation I want to give tonight. I know we believe he's able to deliver us, but we have to believe that. And Miss Judy, if you and Ken just come to the piano. We don't need any singing tonight, son. You can stay where you are. If you'd stand to your feet. As I was getting ready to preach this tonight, one thing just really riveted my heart. How many of you as men would say, you know what, preacher? By God's grace and with God's help, I don't ever want to lead my family a step toward the destruction of their lives and of their future. And tonight I'm getting on an altar and I'm asking God to help me dedicate my heart to following Him in 2021. Would there be any men?